Okay. Trinadapi suniche na tarot iva sahishnuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Haryanama, haryanama, haryanamaiva kevalam. Kalu nastyeva, 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 gachir anyata. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chapter 24 of the 10th canto is entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill. Shukadeva Goswami said, while staying in that very place with his brother Baladev, Lord Krishna happened to see the cowherd men busily arranging for a sacrifice to Indra. Being the omniscient supersoul, the Supreme Lord Krishna already understood the situation. Yet, he still humbly inquired from the elders, headed by his father, Nanda Maharaj. Lord Krishna said, my dear father, kindly explain to me what this great endeavor of yours is all about. What is it meant to accomplish? Is this a ritual sacrifice? Then for whose satisfaction is it intended? And by what means is it going to be executed? Please, tell me about it, O Father. I have a great desire to know, and I am ready to hear in good faith. Certainly, no secrets are to be kept by saintly personalities who see all others as equal to themselves, who have no conception of mine or another's, and who do not consider who is friend, who is enemy, and who is neutral. One who is neutral may be avoided like an enemy, but a friend should be considered like one's own self. When people in this world perform activities, sometimes they understand what they are doing, and sometimes they don't. Those who know what they are doing achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people do not. This being the case, this ritualistic endeavor of yours should be clearly explained to me. Is it a ceremony based on scriptural injunction or simply a customary, ordinary activity of society? Nanda Maharaj replied, the great Lord Indra is the controller of rain. Clouds are his personal representatives, and they directly provide rainwater, which gives happiness and sustenance to all creatures. Not only we, my dear son, but also many other men worship Lord Indra, who is the Lord and Master of the rain-giving clouds. We offer him grain and other paraphernalia of worship produced through his own discharge in the form of rain. By accepting the remnants of sacrifices performed to Indra, people sustain their lives and accomplish the threefold aims of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Thus, Lord Indra is the agent responsible for the fruitive success of industrious people. This religious principle is based on sound tradition. Anyone who rejects it out of lust, enmity, fear, or greed will certainly fail to achieve good fortune. Shukadeva Goswami then said, "When Lord Keshava heard the statements of his father, Nanda, and other senior residents of Braja, he addressed his father as follows in order to arouse anger in Lord Indra. Lord Krishna said, "It is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth, and it is by karma alone that one meets destruction, happiness, distress, fear, and sense of security. All of these arise as the effects of karma. Even if there is some supreme controller who awards all others the results of their activities, one must also depend upon a performer's engaging in activity. After all, there is no question of being the bestower of fruitive results unless fruitive activities have actually been performed. Living beings in this world are forced to experience the consequences of their own particular previous work. Since Lord Indra cannot in any way change the destiny of human beings, which is born of their own nature, why should people worship him? Every individual is under the control of his own conditioned nature, and thus one must follow that nature. This entire universe, with all its demigods, demons, and human beings, is based on the conditioned nature of the living entities. Because it is karma that causes the conditioned living entity to accept and then give up different high or low grade material bodies, this karma is his enemy, friend, and neutral witness. It is also one's spiritual master and controlling lord. Therefore, one should seriously worship work itself. A person should remain in the position corresponding to one's nature and should perform his or her own duty. Indeed, that by which we may live nicely is really our worshipable deity. If one thing is actually sustaining our life, but we take shelter of something else, how can we achieve any real benefit? We would be like an unfaithful woman who can never achieve any actual benefit by consorting with her paramour. The Brahmana maintains his life by studying and teaching the Vedas. The member of the royal order by protecting the earth, the Vaishya by trade, and the Shudra by serving the higher twice-born classes. The occupational duties of the Vaishya are conceived in four divisions: farming, commerce, cow protection, and money lending. Of these, we as a community are always engaged in cow protection. The causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction are the three modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. In particular, the mode of passion creates this universe, and through sexual combination, causes it to become full of variety. Impelled by the material mode of passion, The clouds pour down their rain everywhere. And by this rain, all creatures gain their sustenance. What has the great Indra to do with all this arrangement? My dear father, our home is not in the city or town or village. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. Therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill begin. With all the paraphernalia collected for worshipping Indra, let this sacrifice be performed instead. Let many different kinds of food be cooked, from sweet rice to vegetable soups. Many kinds of fancy cakes, baked and fried, should be prepared. And all the available milk products should be taken for this sacrifice. The Brahmins who are learned in the Vedic mantras must properly invoke the sacrificial fires. Then you should feed the priests with nicely prepared food and reward them with cows and other gifts. After giving the appropriate food to everyone else, including such fallen souls as dogs and dog eaters, you should give grass to the cows and then present your respectful offerings to Govardhan Hill. After everyone has eaten to his or her satisfaction, you should all dress and decorate yourselves handsomely. Smear your bodies with sandalwood paste, and then circumambulate the cows, Brahmins, sacrificial fires, and Govardhan Hill. This is my idea, O Father, and you may carry it out if it appeals to you. Such a sacrifice will be very dear to the cows, Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill, and also to me. Shukadeva Goswami said, Lord Krishna, who is himself powerful time, desired to destroy the false pride of Lord Indra. When Nanda and the other senior men of Vrindavan heard Sri Krishna's statement, they accepted his words as proper. The cowherd community then did all that Madhusudan had suggested. They arranged for the Brahmins to recite the auspicious Vedic mantras, and using the paraphernalia that had been intended for Indra's sacrifice, they presented offerings to Govardhan Hill. And the Brahmins, with reverential respect, they also gave grass to the cows. Then, placing the cows, bulls, and calves in front of them, they circumambulated Govardhan. As the beautifully ornamented cowherd ladies followed along, riding on wagons drawn by oxen, they sang the glories of Lord Krishna, and their songs mingled with the Brahmins' chanting of benedictions. Krishna then assumed an unprecedented huge form to instill faith in the cowherd men, declaring, I am Govardhan Mountain. He ate the abundant offerings. Together with the people of Vraj, the Lord bowed down to this form of Govardhan Hill, thus in effect offering obeisances to himself. Then he said, just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy upon us. This Govardhan Hill, assuming any form he wishes, will kill any resident of the forest who neglects him. Thus, let us pay our obeisances to him for the safety of ourselves and our cows. The members of the cowherd community, having thus been inspired by Lord Vasudeva to properly execute the sacrifice to Govardhan Hill, the cows and Brahmins, returned with Lord Krishna to their village of Vraja. Chapter 25. Lord Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill. Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, when Indra understood that his sacrifice had been put aside, he became furious with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men who were accepting Krishna as their Lord. Angry Indra sent forth the clouds of universal destruction known as Sangvartaka. Imagining himself to be the supreme controller, he spoke as follows. Indra said, "Just see how these cowherd men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being known as Krishna, and thus they have offended the gods." Indra continued, "Their taking shelter of Krishna is just like the foolish attempt of men who abandon transcendental knowledge of the self and instead try to cross over the great ocean of material existence in the false boats of fruitive ritualistic sacrifices." These cowherd men have acted inimically toward me by taking shelter of this ordinary human being known as Krishna, who thinks himself very wise, but who is simply a foolish, arrogant, over-talkative child." Indra then spoke to the clouds of destruction. "The prosperity of these people has made them mad with pride, and their arrogance is backed up by this Krishna. Now go and remove their pride and bring their animals to destruction." "I also will follow you to Vraja, riding on my elephant Airavata, and taking with me the swift and powerful wind gods to decimate the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj." Shukadeva Goswami said, "On Indra's order, the clouds of universal destruction, released untimely from their bonds, went to the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj. There they began to torment the inhabitants by powerfully pouring down torrents of rain upon them. Propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones. As the clouds released torrents of rain as thick as massive columns, the earth was submerged in the flood, and high ground could no longer be distinguished from low. the cows and other animals, shivering from the excessive rain and wind. And the cowherd men and ladies, pained by the cold, all approached Lord Govinda for shelter. Trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall, and trying to cover their heads and calves with their own bodies, the cows approached the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The cowherd men and women then addressed the Lord. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. Seeing the inhabitants of his Gokul rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra. Sri Krishna said to himself, "Because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unreasonable rain, together with terrible winds and hail. By my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra are proud of their opulence, and out of foolishness, they falsely consider themselves to be the Lord of the universe. I will now destroy such ignorance. Since the demigods are endowed with the mode of goodness, the false pride of considering oneself the Lord should certainly not affect them. When I break the false prestige of those bereft of goodness, my purpose is to bring them relief. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter. I am their master, and indeed they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees." Having said this, Lord Krishna, who is Vishnu himself, picked up Govardhan Hill with one hand and held it aloft just as easily as a child holds up a mushroom. The Lord then addressed the cowherd community. "O mother, O father, O residents of Vraja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows. You should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hand. And don't be afraid of the wind and rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged." Their minds thus pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill, where they found ample room for themselves in all their cows, wagons, servants, and priests, and for all other members of the community as well. Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst, and putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, stood there holding up the hill for 7 days as the people of Vraja gazed upon him. When Indra observed this exhibition of Lord Krishna's mystic power, he became most astonished. Pulled down from his platform of false pride and his intentions thwarted, he ordered his clouds to desist. Seeing that the fierce wind and rain had now ceased, the sky had become clear of rain clouds and the sun had risen. Lord Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, spoke to the cowherd community as follows. My dear cowherd men, please go out with your wives, children, and possessions. Give up your fear. The wind and rain have stopped, and the river's high waters have subsided. After collecting their respective cows and loading their paraphernalia into their wagons, the cowherd men went out. The women, children, and elderly persons gradually followed them, while all living creatures looked on. The Supreme Personality of Godhead put down the hill in its original place, just as it had stood before. All the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and they all came forward and greeted Sri Krishna according to their individual relationship with him, some embracing him, others bowing down to him, and so forth. The cowherd men and women presented water mixed with yogurt and unbroken barley corns as a token of honor, and they showered auspicious benedictions upon Krishna. Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda Maharaj, and Balaram, who is the greatest of the strong, all embrace Krishna. Overwhelmed with affection, they offered him their blessings. In the heavens, all the demigods, including the Siddhas, Sadhyas, Gandharvas, and Charanas, sang the praises of Lord Krishna and showered down flowers in great satisfaction. The demigods in heaven resoundingly played their conchals and kettledrums, and the best of Gandharvas, led by Tumburu, began to sing. Surrounded by his loving cowherd boyfriends and Lord Balaram, Krishna then went off to the place where he had been tending his cows. The cowherd girls returned to their homes, singing joyfully about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and other glorious deeds performed by Lord Krishna, who had so deeply touched their hearts. Chapter 27. Lord Indra and Mother Surabhi offer prayers. Shukadeva Goswami said, after Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill and thus protected the inhabitants of Braja from the terrible rainfall, Surabhi, the mother of cows, came from her planet to see Krishna. She was accompanied by Indra. Indra was very ashamed of having offended the Lord. Approaching him in a solitary place, Indra fell down and lay his helmet, whose effulgence was as brilliant as the sun, upon the Lord's lotus feet. Indra had now heard and seen the transcendental power of omnipotent Krishna, and his false pride in being the Lord of the three worlds was thus defeated. Holding his hands together in supplication, he addressed the Lord as follows. Your transcendental form, which is a manifestation of pure goodness, is undisturbed by change, shining with knowledge and devoid of passion and ignorance. In you does not exist the mighty flow of the modes of material nature, which is all based on illusion and ignorance. How then could there exist in you the symptoms of an ignorant person, such as greed, lust, anger, and envy, which are produced by one's previous involvement in material existence, and which cause one to become further entangled in material life? And yet, as the Supreme Lord, you impose punishment to protect religious principles and curb down the wicked. You are the Father and spiritual master of this entire universe, and you are also its supreme controller. You are insurmountable time, imposing punishment upon the sinful for their own benefit. Indeed, in your various incarnations, selected by your own free will, you act decisively to remove the false pride of those who presume themselves masters of the world. Even fools like me, who proudly think themselves universal lords, quickly give up their conceit and directly take to the path of the spiritually progressive when they see you, that you are fearless even in the face of time. Thus, you punish the mischievous only to instruct them. Engrossed in pride over my ruling power, ignorant of your majesty, I offended you, my Lord. My Lord, may you forgive me. My intelligence was bewildered, but let my consciousness never again be so impure. You descend into this world, O transcendent Lord, in order to destroy the warlords who burden the earth and create many terrible disturbances. O Lord, you simultaneously act for the welfare of those who faithfully serve your lotus feet. Obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Great Soul, who are all-pervading and who reside in the hearts of all. My obeisances unto you, O Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Unto you, who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desires of your devotees, unto you whose form is itself pure consciousness, unto you who is everything, who is the seed of everything, and who is the soul of all creatures, I offer you my humble obeisances. My Lord, when my sacrifice was disrupted, I became fiercely angry because of false pride. Thus I tried to destroy your cowherd community with severe rain and wind. O Lord, you have shown mercy to me by shattering my false pride and defeating my attempt to punish Vrindavan. To you, the Supreme Lord, Spiritual Master and Supreme Lord, I have now come for shelter. Shukadeva Goswami then said, "Thus glorified by Indra, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiled, and then spoke to Indra as follows, in a voice resonant like the clouds. My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence as King of Heaven, and I wanted you to always remember me. A man, blinded by intoxication with power and opulence, cannot see me nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand. If I desire someone's real welfare, I drag one down from one's materially fortunate position. Indra, you may now go. Execute my order and remain in your appointed position as King of Heaven. But be sober without false pride." Mother Surabhi, along with her progeny, the cows, then offered her obeisances to Krishna, respectfully requesting his attention. The gentle lady addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was present before her as a cowherd boy. Mother Surabhi said, "O Krishna, Krishna, greatest of all mystics, O soul and origin of the universe, you are the master of the world, and by your grace, O infallible Lord, we have you as our master. You are our worshipful deity. Therefore, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, Brahmins, demigods, and all other saintly persons, please become our Indra. As ordered by Lord Brahma, we shall perform your bathing ceremony to coronate you as Indra. O soul of the universe, you descend to this world to relieve the burden of the earth." Shukadeva Goswami said, "Having thus appealed to Lord Krishna, Mother Surabhi performed the bathing ceremony with her own milk, and Indra, ordered by Aditi and other members of the demigods, anointed Lord with heavenly Ganga water from the trunk of Indra's elephant carrier, Airavata. Thus, in the company of the demigods and great sages, Indra coronated Lord Krishna, the descendant of Darshaha, and gave him the name Govinda." Tumburu, Narada, and other Gandharvas, along with the Vidyadharas, Siddhas, and Charanas, came there to sing the glories of Lord Hari, which purified the entire world. And the wives of the demigods, filled with joy, danced together in the Lord's honor. The most eminent demigods chanted the praises of the Lord and scattered wonderful showers of flowers all around him. All the three worlds felt supreme satisfaction, and the cows drenched the surface of the earth with their milk. Rivers flowed with various kinds of tasty liquids trees exuded honey. Edible plants came to maturity without cultivation, and hills gave forth jewels formerly hidden in their interiors. Upon the ceremonial bathing of Lord Krishna, all living creatures, even those cruel by nature, became entirely free of enmity. After he had ceremonially bathed Lord Govinda, the master of the cows and cowherd community, King Indra took the Lord's permission and, surrounded by the demigods and other higher beings, returned to his heavenly abode.